My youth pastor's wife was calling Paul a male chauvinist. And apparently she didn't understand the inspiration of Scripture at all. But that was a view, and is a view by many people today. And it's like, well, he wrote your Bible through the inspiration of God. So, but I think it really is, those types of things, I think, are really a ploy of Satan. It's just like that in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? I think that's the issue. It really is that simple and that profound. A ploy to question God's word and therefore his authority over our lives. And but when it comes to the word of God, whatever the topic is, there's no apology for what God has so perfectly and wisely ordained, again, in whatever the topic might be. God, in his infinite wisdom, prescribed precisely what would most glorify him and most satisfy his creatures when it comes to the roles of men and women in marriage. And so, you could say, and we do here, the commands that God has given to wives are the wisest commands he has ever given directly addressed to wives, or anybody's ever given, we'll put it that way. Any command ever given to a wife, these are the wisest commands. And so that's what we're going to look at today, the role of the wife. And it is a real joyous and satisfying role if you will go to God's word and pursue to be the type of wife that God has called you to be. So, with that, there are three main responsibilities that God has given to you as a wife. Three main responsibilities. And if you remember, if you have an issue with me on the things that are stated here, we could go back to when I was preaching some of this stuff in Colossians, and remember I spent three full weeks on the husband and only 1 week on the wife, so there's a balance there that I feel the weight of as far as a leader is concerned. So anyways, you can go back and catch some of this stuff then as well in Colossians, but three main responsibilities that God has given to you as a wife. Number one is submission. Submission. We can see that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. The NIV translates it, I would say more accurately here, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. I think that really captures the thought that Paul is getting at here. He's calling the wives not only to submit to their husbands, but to take it upon themselves personally to make sure that it happens. That's really the verb that Paul is using there. And it's a military term that carries with it the idea of arranging yourself under the authority of another. You see that the God has set his order of a husband and a wife, and you arrange yourself accordingly. And it's a command to recognize with, just like any other command, with a willing and ready attitude, the position of authority that has been given to your husbands. To put it another way, as one writer defined it, submission means that the wife actively seeks and joyfully accepts her husband's leadership. Well, that really does capture what Paul is getting at. It's a command, and therefore it is not optional. The wife must submit to her husband, and it must be the pattern of her life, day in and day out. She must submit to her husband, but it's not to be something of a drudgery to her, or something that she just passively lets happen. But rather, you as a wife are to actively take it upon yourself to willingly place yourself under the leadership of your husband. Notice it doesn't say whether the husband is necessarily worthy of it or not in and of himself. So those of you who may have a complaint as to a legitimate complaint, we'll put it that way, about some of the leadership of your husband, still have this responsibility that God has placed before you. You can go to a passage like 1 Peter 3 where that is clearly articulated, that even if your husband is being disobedient to the word, if his life is being characterized as an unbeliever, you're still to submit to his authority. A wife, though, with this kind of submission really has a winsome quality about it. It's inviting to her husband. She makes it a joy for her husband to lead her. She really is in it for her husband's benefit and blessing. She understands that her husband, as the leader, bears the ultimate responsibility for the home before God, and so she joyfully and willingly strives to help her husband succeed as the leader that he is called to be. I mean, think back to the Garden of Eden. Who sinned first? Adam or Eve? Eve did. Who did God address first? Adam. And I think that's very telling of what is to come. As far as when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, now, as we faithfully care for our wives and lead our wives, there's a real sense in which we have that full weight, men. And so the wife will consider all of that, the full weight of that responsibility that God has given to them, and in her best attempt, with the Holy Spirit of God in her life, will willingly do all that she can to make that job, that duty for her husband, as easy as possible, if you will, or as helpful as possible. The husband is the head of the wife, and she is happy that it is this way because God has designed it to be this way. Well, that's what it looks like to obey this command from God to be subject to your husbands. And it again is in the present tense here, and much like most of the commands that we received in Colossians 3. And these are to be a way of life. If you are a wife, this is God's call upon your life. There's no limit given to your submission here. The wife is to submit. If you are a bride, you are to submit in everything. Now, there has to be some exceptions to that, right? Because we as men are not perfect. And our wives' submission to us is simply because God has called them to be submissive to us. It's not just because we say so. It's because what God says. And so there are some limitations to our authority, right? If God is the one in charge of all, then there's a delegated authority, and so our authority has to be in line with what God says for us as husbands. So, with that being said, let me tell you what submission is not. Submission is not to be subject to your husbands in everything. It does not mean that you must obey them if what your husband instructs you to do is something that the Bible clearly calls sin. We know that. Your highest authority as a wife is not your husband, but rather it is the Lord. The reason you are submitting to your husband in the first place is because it's something that God is commanding you to do. Also, to be subject to your husband in everything does not mean that you have no say. We're going to talk about this in a moment, but a suitable helper. A suitable helper is not one who just sits there and folds his hands and just does every little command and wish and, you know, whatever it is, that without any input and help. When it comes to the decision-making process, it is true that the husband has the final say. And I would say that when it comes to any decision. Now, there's a delegated thing. It's like my wife makes decisions all the time, right? And I'm not sitting there going, hey, you need to do it this way or that way or this way. I mean, sometimes I sin and fail and maybe direct in a way that doesn't honor God. But what I'm saying is this. She has the freedom to make decisions because you trust your wife to, hey, I know that I cannot be at the home all the time, and so I trust you. But ultimately, even the decisions that she makes in her home, while you're at work, you're accountable to God for. So there's that measure of accountability and responsibility. But what that means is this. It's though we have the final say, God has given many gifts to you as a wife in order to help your husband, and so you have much wisdom to offer him. And it would be foolish for your husband to think that he could just lead the home or fulfill his role at work or in the church or as a father apart from your help, because God designed you to be the suitable helper for him. And in fact, we believe in the perfect divine providence of God. He handpicked what husband you have and what wife you have. God has put you together for the distinct purpose that you would honor him fully. And so we need the help of our wives. That's why God made our wives. Not the only reason, but one of them. So when you are making a decision, let's just bring it as practical as we can. If you're making a decision, wives, just realize that your husband is going to be fully responsible, not you. Your husband's going to be fully responsible for whatever household decisions are made. And so humbly consider whether your input is truly in submission or whether it is in simply out of a desire just to have a say or to get your way. You know, really know, man, am I seeking to benefit this household? Am I seeking to honor God? Furthermore, submitting to your husband does not mean that you are to dominate your husband, right? That would be the exact opposite. Do not try to play the role that God gave to your husband. If it's fitting in the Lord for you to submit to your husband, then it is unfitting for you not to submit to him. That's Colossians 3:18 says, right? Be subject to your husbands as it's fitting in the Lord. In other words, this is the way God designed it. This is what it is to be a Christian and in the Lord. So this is the case regardless of the circumstances. So I'll put it this way. What you are as a wife, I said it this way for the husband too, by the way. What you are as a wife is what you are as a Christian. And nothing more, nothing less. This really is part of it. It doesn't mean that's the only responsibility you have as a Christian woman, but if you're not fulfilling your role as a wife, then that's where you stand as a Christian in your Christian walk with the Lord. Let me quote somebody else. The best, most revealing test of a wife's spiritual maturity is her submission to her husband. Because how she responds to him is how she responds to Christ. That's really weighty. Again, it's stated well from somebody else. A wife's submission should be a living sermon on how the bride of Christ submits to her heavenly bridegroom. So hopefully that's helpful as to what it is to be submissive. Some of the benefits of this are, there are some benefits for you. One, it honors Christ, which is your goal as one who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, as one who is a believer in Christ. Your greatest goal. You make it your aim to please him. Well, you cannot do that apart from being a submissive wife to the husband that God has given to you. And by the way, if you have a problem with that whole submission concept, and it's like, well, you don't understand my husband. And now, I say this as I've gotten to sit in the room with a lot of you husbands and wives, okay? So, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody in particular, but let's just, even if there is a legitimate complaint, that complaint ultimately goes to the Lord because he's the one that gave you the husband that he gave you. So it honors Christ. It also provides protection because, hey, there is a real sense. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, the woman is the weaker vessel. And so as men, we are called to protect our wives, not just physically, but there's a spiritual sense in well. I really failed at this when I was a youth pastor in Wyoming. People were kind of coming behind the scenes and belittling my wife. And how things went, I didn't catch all of what went down, but I never addressed the issue head on. There were things that needed to be said. And it wasn't just belittling her, but they were trying to usurp what was going on in the church by trying to get after me. They were illegitimate things for sure. And so it was like, man, I could have protected her spiritually. It was Those are some things that I really had to learn, and I'm so thankful that God took me out of leadership in the church to go and learn some things and then come back with some my eyes more wide open. But we are to protect our wives, and so it provides protection for you. Whatever decision you make, if you are willingly submitting, you're saying, look, I'm doing this because this is what my husband wants. This blesses him. And so I trust the Lord with that. It also shelters you from a lot of the stress. There is a lot of things that go on in your life, but ultimately, God is going to hold your husband accountable. And so there's a stress factor where it's like, man, I'm here to bless my husband. I'm here to serve him. I'm here to honor God. And it's really simple for me then. I'm just going to take care of the things that God has delegated to me through my husband and be faithful with that. And then number four, I love it. It increases your faith. And this really is the case. You get into a scenario where a husband is not honoring God, and you have a wife who submits to him really faithfully, not perfectly, but faithfully. There you will find a woman who is full of rich faith, because she's saying, God, now this man is not honoring you, but I'm going to trust you with that, and I'm going to submit to that authority. That's a huge thing. And that's why you get that address again in 1 Peter 3, 1-7. And the context there being those who are abusing authority, God, the wife who simply just submits in a loving, humble, gracious way can be very winsome for her husband. So there's an increased faith. It's you saying, God, I trust your word more than I trust myself. So I'm not going to manipulate the situation to try and get what I want. I'm not going to try and make him do what I think would be most wise. Okay, I've shared my wisdom with him. He doesn't want it. And I'm not angry at him for that. He sees it differently. I'm going to trust you, God, and submit accordingly. That's one way to look at it. But there's true faith in what God's word says. Number two is you are called to be the suitable helper. Helper. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. This is why what Pastor Moses was saying last week in his sermon addressing biblical sexuality and morality in our day, in line with our Canadian friends and pastors and churches over there, and thousands of churches that did that, that got the attention of Fox News and things like that. This is why he said in that sermon, and it was kind of off, I don't think it was even in his notes, but that women are the crown jewel of God's creation. If you really do follow the logic of the of creation, that which is created later has a greater emphasis, or there could be, you could say, a greater climax, or the best words would be the crown jewel of all creation. And that was women. The wife was created last as far as the order of God's creation. And so there's a real sense in which she has a special place in what God has called her to do in this world. And part of that is to be the helper suitable. You see that in Genesis 3:18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. That's how you know for sure. Definitely, we're not animals. We've been created in the image of God. There was no helper suitable until God created woman. And so, what a beautiful thing. I love what Dr. Street, he puts it this way. Someone, as far as a helper suitable, someone who is ideally suited. She is his perfect complement. Her husband is her primary ministry. She will find her greatest joy and contentment in that role. She is a contributing member in a partnership. That's what it looks like to be a suitable helper. 1 Peter 3:7 describes the wife as a fellow heir of the grace of life. What she does enhances the proficiency and efficiency, of her husband in his life as a husband, as a father, as an employee, as a participating member in the body of Christ. Your job as wives is to make sure on your side of things that your husband excels in all that God called him to do. To be the best husband he could be. To be the best father he could be. The best employee. And again, the best member of the body of Christ. Think of Proverbs 31, and it talks about how her husband was known at the gate. Meaning, here she is, giving all of her life's work, working rigorously inside the home to make sure her job, her husband is able to have the platform that he's supposed to have in that setting. It would be like, it's a personal example for myself. I go to my office, I study, I don't think much about what's going on at home, not because I don't want to think about it, but I'm doing something else. Much is taken care of by my wife. So grateful for her. I can then shepherd the flock of God around me because I know our home is well taken care of. She goes above and beyond so that many, many things are taken off my plate so that I can hone in and be the best pastor that I can be. And I don't say that to flatter her. I'm so richly grateful for her. And many of you men, if not all of you men here, have much of that same experience. How much our wives do to make sure that we can accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish in this world. Doesn't mean women can't have prominence and influence outside of the home or anything like that. It just means there's a primary role of making sure the husband is all set and ready to go and taken care of to do those things. And really, it shows that the man is probably more needy than the wife, even though the wife gets the bad rap for being more needy. Man, there's so much that we need as men to do what we can well. And just think about that, all of the effort that your wife has. Just think of those times when you decided to take the day with all the littles and what that is like for just 6 hours, let alone day after day after day, and pointing them to Christ and honoring God with it. That's why I say our jobs are easier than our wives because, listen, I go to my office and mainly it just goes the way I want it to go. My wife sets up her schedule, and then the kids get involved. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's really just not going to happen today. But I get to bless my children. So there's some things for you. But we're not going to go to Proverbs 31. I want to look at Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And we're going to look at it fast. We'll get there. So Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I've heard, you know, in some places, people want to scorn these verses and say, man, that's just like, what about getting to do other things? And it's like, well, here's a primary, and God is going to give you influence as you are faithful in this. There's more that God will give you. But there's some really cool things here that I want you to see. This passage provides an excellent summary of what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a helper suitable in a way that honors God. And so notice what specific and, by the way, timeless instructions are given for wives. This doesn't mean that a wife can never have a job. Just, I'll make that clear. If you want to talk about that later, cool. But let's just take it what it says here. Older women, verse 3, likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. First of all, you see that they are called to love their husbands. Love your husbands. That is, that you have a desire to serve and care for your husband. You want to make it easy for your husband to lead you. This is a genuine delight in and sacrificial devotion to your husband, right? That's what we see with love, always described all throughout Scripture. This is that type of love, a sacrificial, a conscious effort. This isn't birthed out of romance, though romance can be a part of it. This isn't birthed out of just emotions. This is you determining, I'm going to sacrifice my life for the sake of my husband. I'm going to serve him. So you have that there. Number two is loving your children. Love your children. And the order is important. Children are in our home for a time, and then they are gone. And there's really no way to prepare for that. Sorry, we just went through this with our son Michael. You'll see him hopefully from time to time in the next 6 months, but he's moved out, and it's like, whoa, okay. That's done. What do we do here? You know, and it's sad and exciting all at the same time, but you love your children. Husband has priority because that's going to last the whole time. But then you have your children, and part of being a faithful helper is loving your children. And the best way to show love and help to your husband is to pour out your life into your kids. Delight in them. Spend tons of time with them. That's the beauty of being a stay-at-home wife or one whose primary, even if you do work outside of the home, it's you're there when your kids are there sort of thing. Be there for them. Point them to Christ in the way that you take care of your household responsibilities. Demonstrate with your words and with your tones that it is a blessing to serve your children. Sacrificially devote yourself to your kids. And you know that that is, it's not a full-time job. That is a overtime job. That is 24/7. It doesn't end. It even happens in the middle of the night, right? But do that. That is the way that you help your husband, your suitable helper. Not only that, it's to be sensible. The idea here is that of being in control of oneself. You have order in your life. Your priorities are set, and though not perfectly, you have a balanced way of life. You take care of the things that need to be taken care of at home, in particular, or at least in priority. You know when to say no to certain opportunities and things. You know when to say yes to certain opportunities and things that are outside of the home. But the Word of God governs your thinking and choices, not your emotions. Which, you know, is great. I love the different emotions that flow from women, and my wife in particular. It's like, you know, it is fun. It's kind of like a roller coaster. There are some times where it's like, what? I don't know what's going on here, but I'm gonna ride this thing until who knows what happens. You know, we're just gonna have fun. But you, in your working through all of this as a wife, is, hey, no, my emotions are not gonna dictate how I treat my children. Yeah, I feel like strangling them right now, but I'm gonna point them to Christ instead, and I'm gonna show them that I love them. And what that does is provides an incredible place for the husband to come back to when he gets done with his day of work. And there's this stability that happens because you're being faithful to what God has called you to be. Also pure. And I love this one because of this. This is you pursuing holiness. You're not deluded by the worldliness. You care more about what God thinks than what the world thinks. But you are pure because you know and apply what God's word says about purity. Here's the reality about a woman who's going to be pure. A wife who's going to be pure is going to be a wife who knows the Bible. She does know and love theology. She does know and desire to be here and to take the exposition of the Word of God and apply it to her life. She's not sitting there just waiting, you know, okay, husband, instruct me. There is a part of that. We are called as men to lead our wives in that way. But it's this lady knows God and wants to be holy because her God has called her to be holy. This is the Christian life. You are pursuing that exemplary way of life for your kids. But that doesn't come apart from really knowing God. You can't honor God if you don't know Him very well. And so you strive, even in the midst of the busyness, to read good books, to study the Word, but especially to take from what has been prepared for you by men who have stood in this pulpit to preach the Word of God to you, and you have a plethora of things that you know about the Bible, and you take those and you apply them to your life. But purity, that means you, as women, need to be women of the Word. And also workers at home. Workers at home. This means that you are faithful to carry out your household responsibilities. And that really is the Greek understanding there. You are taking care of the different household responsibilities that are there. Martha Peace in The Excellent Wife book says it this way, I like this, a godly wife is organized and works hard to operate her home with the least possible chaos. She also creates an optimistic, joyful atmosphere for her family. God has always intended for the home to be the wife's domain. That really is the case. Again, I want to be clear. I don't believe that means they can never work. I believe it's what is the priority? Is it your home or is it your own career? That's important there. So the best way possible is to be home as much as you can be. Be there when your family's there, taking care of things. One of the key ways that you play out the role of being a suitable helper is to be faithful in the home. This means avoiding laziness on one side. And not all of this is in your notes, by the way, but it's just so for you to take on your own. But avoiding laziness on one side, but also avoiding perfectionism. You have kids. Now, we're not perfect in and of ourselves, but it's definitely not going to be perfect with little kids in the house, right? I mean, awesome bundles of joy that they are still vipers and diapers, and there's a lot of things going on. But people are more important than household chores. So there's a priority thought there. So it's not that everything has to be perfectly neat and tidy and clean and everything, you know, in one house is going to look a little bit different than another house and so on and so forth. But it's the idea of order. It's the idea of faithfulness. It's the idea of taking care of the things so that you can live in the least amount of chaos as possible in a world with lots of sinners in your home. It's a unique experience. It's you considering others as more important than yourselves. It's really a Philippians 2 mentality. A worker at home, as a wife, is one who says, I am going to spend and be spent for the sake of my husband and my family. All of that, obviously, to the glory of God. Martha Peace puts it this way. It's a little bit of a longer quote. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your family almost as much. Be patient and kind and do not be selfish. Create such an atmosphere in your home that your husband as well as other family members will look forward to coming home. They will want to be around you instead of avoid you. If you find yourself struggling emotionally with self-pity, that's why I quoted from her, not myself, hear this well. Not being appreciated or being used by your family, become aware of your thoughts. Biblically deal with your husband or your children's sins and replace your own sinful thoughts with biblically optimistic thoughts. So repent of your own self-pity and say, man, this is what God has called me to. And it's not about whether I get praise from them. It's about whether I honor God or not. And there is room for you as a wonderful helper to go to your husband and say, hey, I want to share something with you because I know you want to honor God and I feel like you're just missing something here. Can I share this with you? There's ways to do it. It doesn't always come out like that necessarily, but that's the aim, right? Kindness, kind, is another word here. It's the word for good or beneficial, agathos. This is a woman who has a deep-seated trust in the Lord, providing a reassuring atmosphere in the home. That's what's wrapped up in this word. Workers at home, kind. I missed my spot there in verse 5. This speaks of maintaining a high quality of worth, meaning that you are a viable asset to work, to the work that God has given you and your husband to accomplish. That's the thing. He gave Adam a command saying, this is what you need to do, right? Be fruitful, multiply, and then rule over the land, dominate the land. And then he gave a wife suitable to help in that responsibility. We'll be faithful to carry out the jobs that God has called us to. And also you have the word of God at the end of verse 5. You could say this is the glory of God. It's this. You see that. Be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. We already covered that. That's why I didn't cover it here. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. You do what you do for the fame of God's name. I mean, whatever we know of God comes from his word. And we don't want to dishonor what his word has to say. And so the ultimate goal, of course, is the glory of God. It transcends whether your husband is worthy of your submission and love and care. You realize that this life, your marriage, your home, your ministry within the church is not about you, but about the fame of God's name. This is exactly what Paul meant in Colossians 3:18 when he says, as is fitting in the Lord. You do what you do because God's word tells you to. And you do that with joy and contentment and delight because God's commands are not burdensome to us. One last statement by Martha Peace. She says, the wife and mother in a family often sets the tone in the home. The tone God wants her to set is one of joy, optimism, and delight in the Lord and in her family. That doesn't mean that you don't have moments of sadness and that it's not that you're going to never sin, right? I mean, that we're sinners still. Here on earth, we're saved by grace, but we still have the flesh that we're dealing with. So there will be struggles and there will be difficulties, but there's a faithfulness to life that says, I want to honor God. And so when you recognize sin in your life, you deal with it, with whoever you've got to deal with it. And oftentimes for the wife, it is with others because of how much interaction you're having with your kids and with your husband. So you ask them for forgiveness, and most importantly, you go to God and confess your sin, you deal with it. But ultimately, your aim is to set an atmosphere of joy and delight in the Lord in your home. That's something that God desires from you. That's how you would want to be a suitable helper. And number 3 is the word reverence or respect. It's from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. And, you know, you could, I suppose, kind of take this command and put it underneath the idea of being submissive that he gives in chapter 5. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord in verse 22. And then gives this huge, long description, really for the husband, and then he comes back at the end of verse 33, says, nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife, in verse 33, must see to it that she respects her husband. So it could be, in a sense, this is part of the submission, not necessarily broken off as its own thing, but we just want to look at this in particular. Reverence, or respect there, that word, and is, here speaks of having a profound measure of respect for your husband. Dr. Street puts it this way. It means to honor, prefer, venerate, esteem, praise, love, admire exceedingly. She is to hold him in the highest esteem within her heart and mind. And again, there are no qualifications here to, well, as long as your husband is doing what he's supposed to do. This is on you. This is God. This is you before God. And so you ask yourself some questions like this, and I think these are on the bottom of your sheet. Is this your view and treatment of your husband? Hold him in the highest esteem in your heart and your mind. It'll come across in the way you treat him. Just ask your husband, okay? That's homework added on. Shouldn't take long, but who knows how it will go. Just ask your husband if he feels like you hold him in the highest esteem. Just ask him, do you feel like I hold you in the highest esteem? You can ask yourself the question, are you more interested in revamping your husband or fulfilling the role that God has given to you as a wife? Even if your husband is being disobedient to the word, just say that is the case. It is not your responsibility to change him. And you can't, right? God is the one that works in people's hearts. And so think about that. Are you interested, more interested in revamping your husband or fulfilling the role God has given to you as a wife? And I say all this, you know, you think, man, how am I to do all of this? Or, man, where is the time gone? I wish I would have heard this sooner. And we've talked about these things here. I know Moses has since he's been here. But all that being said, you can honor God in this way. Because just like what we've been learning in Colossians, you've been made complete in Christ. That means that you have the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you and through understanding the Word of God accurately and applying it to your life and by the power of the Holy of the Trinity in you, you have the ability to be this type of wife. Just the same as it is for us as husbands. We have that. And so praise God for his instructions. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He clearly shows us, hey, this is what I want from you. And so whenever you're in a situation where people are trying to muddy that, realize, okay, either they're just confused or they really just don't want to take God at his word. This stuff is clear. It doesn't always look the same in every household, but this stuff is clear. And so obey it. Use it, treasure it, because it's the way that you get to honor Christ in your marriage. Father, thank you so much for the blessing of, Lord, this church body and these men and women sitting here today. Thank you for the wives that you have given to us here. There's a rich treasure trove of faithfulness sitting among us. And I thank you for that. Lord, help us as men to make it desirable for our wives to want to submit to us and help us and reverence us. But Lord, give these wives here your grace to be able to put all excuses aside and just seek to honor you with their lives as wives. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.